Everybody says that Vancouver is expensive, but just how expensive is it?
That's what we're getting into in today's podcast.
Today, we're exploring the cost of living in Vancouver, and I'm breaking it all down for you. I'm getting into some details that nobody else is talking about, so you truly understand whether you're going to be able to afford to live in Vancouver or not. And spoiler alert, some of these expenses are truly going to shock you, and you're going to be surprised that you might actually be saving money moving to Vancouver. Let's get into all of it right now. My name is Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver BC team, and welcome back to the channel. If you're new here, this channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver. Welcome to the channel. Thank you for being here. I talk about what it's like to live in Vancouver every single week. And this week, we're talking about the cost of living in Vancouver. We're going to leave no stone unturned so you truly understand exactly what it's going to be like for you living in Vancouver and whether you're going to be able to afford living in one of the most expensive cities in North America. But is it really? And is every element in Vancouver expensive? Well, that's what we're going to discover in today's podcast. And I'm leaving no stone unturned. So first, let's get into what's probably going to be the biggest part of your budget living here in Vancouver, and that's housing. Whether you're planning on owning or renting, let's get right into the cost of housing. First, let's discuss what it's like to rent in Vancouver. And there's a pretty big diversity of expenses, and I'm going to be talking about that a fair amount. The Metro Vancouver region is quite large, and so there's lots of differences from one area to another. But most people that are going to move here are going to start in the city of Vancouver. And right now, in the fall of 2025, the typical median rent is $2,750 in Vancouver. And that's down about 8% from a year ago. So both in terms of owning and in renting, this is not a bad time. The market for both of these is relatively weak. So if you're a buyer, or in this case, potentially a renter, everything is sort of in your favor at the moment. So prices are a little bit lower. As I said, they're roughly down in Vancouver, about 10%. A one bedroom, a typical one bedroom is going for about $2,500. A typical two bedroom is going for about $3,400. And a typical three bedroom is $4,150. If there is a four bedroom that you can find, and typically these are houses, it would be about $5,800. And you can see a big jump when you go from those three bedrooms up to those four bedrooms. And predominantly that's because you're going from condo slash townhouse to a house. And the condo townhouse has almost no land. And then the house has a significant amount of land. And the most valuable thing in our market is land. So if you want a house, whether you're planning on buying it or renting it, it does cost a bit of a premium. So those numbers are for City of Vancouver, but there is a more expensive part for renting in Vancouver, and that would be the downtown core. That is where land is most expensive. You're not going to find four bedroom houses in downtown Vancouver, so we're going to forgo any of those. But the median rental price right now in the fall of 2025 is $3,000, and that's down 13%. So you can see again how the market is weaker today than it was a year ago. So once again, good time to be a tenant. Your median rent in downtown Vancouver is about $3,000 right now. A one bedroom is going for a typical price of about $2,800 a month in downtown Vancouver. About $4,000 a month for a two bedroom, and a three bedroom is a whopping $6,600. And that big jump in cost is really because how rare those three bedrooms are. You really don't see them in downtown Vancouver. And if you do, they're pretty large or quite luxurious. And that is why you're paying so much more for a three bedroom. You're typically not really going to be able to find it. But where can you find a better deal? Well, it really steps down in price if you cross a couple bridges. And so the easiest example I can give you is the city of Surrey. That is actually one of the fastest growing areas in our region. There's massive amounts of development and a real surplus of rentals in that area. It is a bit of a commute into downtown Vancouver. You're going to have to take that into account, how much time that takes you, how much it costs you to commute into the city. But if you want to save on rent, that is a place to go and look. The median rent right now in Surrey is $2,000 a month. That's down 14% from the previous year, continuing our trend of declining rents in the region. A one bedroom is typically about $1,750. A two bedroom is $2,250. A three bedroom is $3,000. And a four bedroom is also a bit of a jump, but it's $4,000 because once again, you're going from a condo slash townhouse up into a detached house more than likely when you're looking at renting one of those four bedrooms. In order to own in Vancouver, you are paying a pretty hefty price. And this is not a cheap market. When people talk about Vancouver being being expensive. It's predominantly thinking about how much it costs to have housing, whether it's owning or renting. And so in Vancouver, in the fall of 2025, a typical house is $2.5 million. That's in the city of Vancouver. A typical townhouse is $1,268,500. And a typical condo is $769,500. But once again, you don't have to be paying Vancouver prices. There are areas in Vancouver that are more expensive. There's some areas in the metro area that are actually also more expensive than within the city of Vancouver limits. But there's plenty of places that are less expensive. And I'm going to use that example of Surrey once again, just so we can compare. And so in the city of Surrey, a typical house right now is $1,451,500. So you're saving about $1 million by moving out to Surrey from the city of Vancouver. Typical townhouse is $795,900. And there you're saving about $500,000. And a typical condo is $534,000. And there you're saving, what's that, about $230,000. So going from a house, townhouse, condo, you're saving $1,500,000, roughly $250,000, by moving from Vancouver to Surrey. And you can save even more by looking at some other region, depending on the housing type that you're looking for. And the savings can be anywhere from 30 to 50%. Keep in mind, of course, you're increasing the amount of time that you're likely to be spending commuting or traveling to shops or activities, and also the transportation costs. So that is something to weigh in your calculations, but many people find it well worth their time to spend a little more time venturing out into the suburbs rather than living in the city. But of course, if you value living in the city and you want to be in the urban center of Vancouver with nature at your doorstep, then paying that trade-off may be something that is worth it to you. In the cost of ownership, I just want to make sure we explore a couple things, and that is the cost of maintenance, specifically for condos. Any strata, whether it's a condo, a townhouse, or even a half duplex, you could have strata fees. It's unlikely with a half duplex, but typical strata fees are somewhere in the 50-cent to $1 a square foot range per month. So, you know, you might find that a typical one bedroom condo might be somewhere in the range of $250 to $500. You might find a typical two bedroom being somewhere in the range of $400 to $600. Kind of in those sorts of ranges are the numbers that you might be expecting. There's a lot of things that can get covered in those maintenance fees, from the maintenance of the property to the utilities that are paid for the common areas, to the property management of the property, to savings in a contingency reserve fund, essentially the rainy day fund of the building. But not all expenses are going to be covered by that maintenance cost. And that's something I think that's really critical to understand. There could be deferred maintenance in the building that you're looking at. There could be some unexpected expenses where one day they have to replace the roof, or they have to replace the plumbing or the parquet membrane. Those are things that you want to understand before you purchase the property, so that you understand what the potential cost of ownership over time is going to be. And if it's not being saved by the strata, you want to put extra money aside every month and put that into your budget. That is, of course, something that you want to be thinking about when you own any type of property, even if it's a duplex or it's a detached house. You also need to be thinking about maintenance, and there are ongoing expenses that you have to pay that aren't necessarily direct maintenance fees, but you need to budget for those expenses over the long term. The other big expense that you have to be thinking about when you own a property, of course, are the property taxes. And property taxes do vary in the region, but on the whole, we're at the lower end of what you're going to find all throughout North America. Typically, within the metro area, we have 22 different municipalities, and they all have their own property tax rates. So there is a big variation. We can go anywhere on the low end from the city of Vancouver, where you're paying about 0.27% property tax, to 0.28 in Surrey, to 0.4% in New Westminster. And at the high end, you're looking at about 0.43 in Delta. But this compares to some really, really high property tax rates that you might see in the United States, and compares really favorably to what you see throughout Canada. So property taxes are a significant expense. You do have to budget for it, but keep in mind, they are considerably lower than probably what you're seeing anywhere else in North America. All right, next we're going to talk about utilities. And first of all, let's talk about electricity. And in British Columbia, we call that hydro, which can be kind of confusing because that's not the water bill, that is the electricity bill, because our electricity comes from hydropower. And because it comes from hydropower, it's very abundant and it's relatively cheap. It's one of the cheapest sources of electricity in all of North America. And so we're really, really lucky in Vancouver and British Columbia that we have such cheap and relatively clean access to energy. As a result, the typical cost here isn't a huge part of your monthly expenses as it can be in other places. This is regulated. There basically is just one provider, and it's safe, it's secure, and it's relatively cheap. So in my books, it's pretty darn fantastic. We pay roughly, let me see, it's 11.62 cents per kilowatt hour versus in Winnipeg, that's the cheapest, you're going to pay about 10.24. In Toronto, you're paying about 13.88. And in Regina, you're paying 17.89. And of course, in other parts of North America that are even more unregulated, rates can be considerably higher. An important note is that there are fluctuations in how they charge. So there is a cheaper charge through the day and a higher charge at night. And of course, there are seasonal fluctuations as well in your bill. So you're going to be typically paying a lower amount through the summer months and usually a higher amount in the winter months. You can imagine in the Northern Hemisphere where we don't have as much light in the winter months, you're obviously going to use your lights more frequently in the winter months. And if you have air conditioning, you actually might find that in summer months, you may have a higher electrical bill because your air conditioner is more than likely hydro-powered, electric-powered. And also, it will depend on your heating source. And so if you have only electric baseboards, of course, in the winter months, you will also be using your heaters much more than you will in the summer months. So there are fluctuations, but a typical bill in Vancouver at the moment is about $105 a month. And so for my house, which is about 2,600 square feet, I have eight humans living in my house, the six of us up top, and then there's a suite with two people living in it. Our hydro bill is about $100 a month. It fluctuates maybe down to 90 and goes up to about 120. But all in all, it's not nearly one of my larger expenses. I just want to point out also that there's a huge difference in the amount of your electricity bill if you live in a condo versus a house. Condos are so incredibly cheap because they're so well insulated and you tend to be heated from all the units around you. They are so energy efficient these days that your hydro bills could actually be $20, $30, like if you're a one bedroom condo. It's going to depend if you're mining crypto or if you have 20 TVs or not, and if you have electric heating or not. But generally, if you're in a condo, those bills can be really, really small. And then of course, it can be considerably higher if you live in a large house with a large number of people. But again, these bills tend to be on the lower end of what you're going to see anywhere in North America. And then moving on to gas. When I'm talking about gas, I'm referring to natural gas, and our provider in British Columbia is Fortis. So once again, this is a regulated marketplace. There is one provider. It's not an open market. We're really lucky to have access to relatively cheap natural gas. And once again, this is not a huge part of anyone's bill, but it does fluctuate. And specifically, it does fluctuate seasonally. And it depends a lot on what kind of appliances you have. You could have heating that is electric based or heating that is gas based. You could have a stove that is gas or electric, or a hot water tank that is gas or electric. So it really depends on those things. But all in all, your gas bill isn't typically going to be crazy. And it's generally going to be included if you live in a condo. The gas fireplace and the gas stove are usually utilities that are included in condo maintenance fees, usually. But when you own a house, this is a bill that will be separate as long as there is gas delivered to your home. I should mention also that not every condo has any kind of gas. And so everybody's going to get an electric bill because we all want electricity to at least turn on the lights, but not everybody's going to have a gas bill. And there are many condos that do not have gas bills, and there's even some houses that do not have gas bills. If you're not using a utility, you of course do not need to pay it. But once again, my own expense, I can tell you in this house that is roughly 2,600 square feet with eight people living in it, the gas bill could be as low as $60 a month in the middle of the summer, and it could go as high as about $300 in the middle of the winter. And that's because all the stoves in the house are gas, the hot water tank is gas, the furnace is gas, and then we have two gas fireplaces as well. And so of course, in the middle of winter, all of those things are being used much more, and that increases the bill. So it's not an insignificant bill, but it's not a crazy bill for the size and the amount of gas that we end up using in the middle of winter when things get a little cooler. And I did just want to point out that if you're renting, you're not necessarily going to get a separate gas and hydro bill. Those things may be included in your rent, and that is really important to discover when you're comparing rent from one place to another. Make sure that that is clear at the outset when you sign your rental agreement. But the other utility you want to be thinking about, of course, is internet. And typically the main providers in Vancouver are going to be either TELUS or Rogers, and you're going to be paying anywhere from about $40 a month up to around $100 a month, depending on how big the pipeline into your home is. Of course, it's going to be more important for you to get faster internet if you do a lot of work from home or if you like to watch a lot of Netflix, but these things can range. There are a whole variety of alternative providers that can bring that bill down quite a bit. You might find in some buildings in downtown Vancouver, there are certain providers that provide internet access exclusively there, and you might only be paying about $30 a month for really high quality internet access. So a lot of variation there. So after crunching all those numbers, if you still want to move to Vancouver and purchase purchase a home? Well, of course, I'm a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of people do exactly what you're trying to do. Move to Vancouver, find the right neighborhood, and find the right home. And I can help you and your family whenever it is you're ready.
Reach me one. You can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup.
Feel free to reach out whenever you're ready. But for now, let's get back to the podcast. Next, let's talk about groceries and food. And this one can vary quite a bit, I have to admit. But typically, you can expect for a single person, one individual, to pay about $500 a month. And for a family of four, you're probably looking at about $1,500 a month. I can tell you, our family of six, we're pretty healthy eaters, and our budget is over $2,000 a month. And that's something that I'm not entirely proud of. And I wish my kids would all eat every morsel of food that I put in front of them, but they don't, unfortunately. In any event, what I find is this bill can really vary a lot depending on, frankly, what you eat, right? If you're a carnivore, if you eat a lot of meat, obviously your bill is going to be on the high end. Meat is incredibly expensive these days. And of course, if you're a vegetarian and you're a small person that doesn't eat a lot, well, your bill could be a lot less than this. So much comes down to exactly what kind of food you eat, but a lot also comes down to where you shop. And of course, if you're shopping only at Whole Foods, well, of course, things are going to seem expensive. But there are a lot of variations. There are a lot of varieties of places that you can go to. And a lot of the ethnic food stores in Vancouver are actually a really good deal. So that's an area, if you want to save some money, that I would be exploring. And there's, in every community, there's some ethnic, small ethnic food stores where you can save a lot of money in comparison to going to Safeway or to Whole Foods. The main point here, though, I think, is that there's really little variation on food prices throughout Canada. Sure, in some of the more remote areas, and obviously if you go up north, a lot of food is going to get a whole lot more expensive. But we're in a big city and a big center, and so there's a lot of food that is made around here. There's a lot of food that is grown around here. And we also get the advantage of being along the West Coast. So a lot of the food that we get comes up from Mexico or from California, and it's relatively inexpensive to come up here to Vancouver. So even out of season foods, which I wouldn't recommend buying, unfortunately, you know, these days half my budget is keeping my young children fed with berries. It's something that I'm really uncomfortable with, but you can still do it. You know, quite frankly, berries are surprisingly cheap even out of season because we have access to food coming up from the border. Of course, the whole environmental consequences of that are a whole other story, and you have to decide for yourself whether you're all right with that. But for the moment, my kids are winning out. I'm fighting that battle, but eventually I'm going to win. But right now I'm on the losing side. But if you're on the winning side, you're definitely going to find that you're going to be able to save a lot of money. If you're a vegetarian and if you're willing to shop at some of those ethnic food places throughout Vancouver, you're also going to save a lot of money. Now, on the other hand, what about dining out? Vancouver is known for its dining scene, and there is a lot of variety that's available. There's a lot of really high quality, but is it all that cheap? I'd say in the whole, no, but there are cheap options out there. I mean, there's places like Shawarma or Pizza by the Slice or cheap sushi places. There's a lot of places like that around where you're typically going to find that a meal might cost you about $15 to $20. And of course, that's for an individual. And I'd say I'd throw in the fast food joints into that as well. Now, then we kind of have those mid-range places, the places like Cactus Club, like Earl's, like Moxie's. And of course, our local favorite, that would be White Spot. And you're looking around $30, $35, maybe $40 per person when you eat at a place like that in Vancouver. And then if you're going out for those fine dining establishments, places like, I don't know, Published, Les Faux Bourgeois, Vidges, Tojo's, well, the sky's the limit, quite honestly, but sort of the lower end, maybe it's $60 per person and easily getting into 100 plus, and thousands of dollars could easily be spent as well if you really wanted to. But how much you spend dining out or just going out in general is really going to depend on you and the lifestyle that you lead. If you want to save money, you don't go out, of course. But there are less expensive places to eat, and there's considerably more expensive places. I think most people are going to be spending probably somewhere in the range of $200-$300. If you're really trying to save money, obviously that's not going to be a big part of your budget. You're going to perhaps spend nothing at all. But there's certainly a lot of people that I know that are spending $1,000 or a couple $1,000s on going out pretty regularly in Vancouver. It is a part of a lot of people's lifestyles. If you want it to be a part of your lifestyle, this could be a very big piece of your budget. Keep that in mind. All right, so we're going to get into transportation. I'm going to start with talking about car ownership. And you're going to learn living in Vancouver doesn't require owning a car, but of course, many of of us want one or need one. So let's start with that. Car insurance in Vancouver has been, up until pretty recently, one of the more expensive insurances in all of Canada, but that's no longer the case. We're now solidly middle of the pack. And so your typical insurance in Vancouver is going to run you about $150 a month. Of course, all sorts of pieces are missing from this puzzle. How old you are, how long you've been driving, what kind of car you drive, where exactly do you live? But roughly $150 a month is the average. And places like Alberta, Ontario, the Maritimes are more expensive. And then of course, places like Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Quebec are less expensive. So keep that in mind with insurance. With gasoline, that is one area, just like housing, where we lead the country in expense. Gas is expensive here. Typically, you're going to see gas prices about 25% higher than the next most expensive place in Canada. And primarily that's for two reasons. One is they tell us that the gas supply in Vancouver is really limited. We're serviced by just two refineries. And if anything goes on, they're doing some kind of maintenance. If there's a strike, that impacts us pretty severely. And the other is that we have a pretty significant tax on our gasoline, and that's levied by Metro Vancouver. That tax funds our transportation network, the highways, the roads, as well as the transit system. So gasoline is what's paying for it. And that is the reason that we see these higher gas prices. But typically, like right now, we have gas prices around $1.65 a liter. It's fluctuating up and down, of course, all the time, but roughly about 25% more than just about anywhere else in Canada. The excellent transit system that we have is one of the reasons that not owning a car is even feasible or possible. We have the West Coast Express, we have the SkyTrain, we have the C Bus, we have a fantastic bus network. Of course, the service is best in the highest density locations. So the closer you are to downtown Vancouver, the better it's going to be. But living without a car is really possible in many areas in Vancouver as well as outside of Vancouver because of our excellent transit network. It is broken down into zones, and how much you pay depends on how many zones you're crossing. It's at the very high end, roughly $200 a month to cross three zones, and it's $150 a month roughly for two zones, and for one zone it's $112. So pretty good deal if you ask me. It's been a long time since I had a transit pass, but it is excellent value. And then of course, if you want to ride the West Coast Express, which is our commuter train that runs out into Mission, there you're going to be paying, again, it's broken into zones, but you're paying anywhere from $200 if you're coming in from Port Moody all the way up to $400 if you're coming in from Mission. But once again, that can be an excellent mode of transportation to make your commute much more pleasant, and money that could be very well spent if you're choosing to live in some of the areas where housing is much less expensive. But aside from those two major options, there's lots of other alternatives that you can find around Metro Vancouver as well. There's rideshare like Uber, Lyft, and taxi, and those fluctuate in cost quite a bit. They are probably one of the more expensive modes of transportation, but they can be really, really convenient in a pinch. The nice thing is that we actually have access to Uber and Lyft in Vancouver, which wasn't the case just a couple of years ago. So you can know you don't just have to rely on taxis, but Uber and Lyft are here as well. And then there's car share. So this is a car sharing program. The main one that most of us use here is called Evo, and that is run by our insurance company, by ICBC. It's $1.90 to unlock. It's 50 cents a minute, or it's $18 an hour, or per day, it's $105 per day. So it's actually a really good alternative to owning a car that you can just, if you don't need a car all that often, if you don't want to pay for the storage of that vehicle, well, you can just use a car share and then just pay for it when you really, really need it. And people can use it for multi-day trips as well. So if you want to get up to Whistler, if you want to drive over to Kamloops or to Vancouver Island, you can still use Evo. It is a solution for somebody that doesn't want to use a car. And there's now bike share, which is $1 to unlock. It's 30 cents a minute or $50 a month for unlimited 30-minute trips, or it is $169 for a year for unlimited 60-minute trips. So really good value there as well. And once again, sort of this city that has so many bike routes and dedicated bike lanes, having a bike share or riding a bike becomes a really feasible way to get around and to commute. I know a lot of people in my neighborhood that commute to work on a bike or bring their children to school on a bike, as I do quite often. And the newest addition to our alternative transportation is a scooter share. Scooter share is $1.25 to unlock, and it's 39 cents a minute. So a little more expensive than the bike, but you don't have to put your own power into the scooter, which is kind of nice. And it can be kind of fun to get around on a scooter. It is, I think it's gone from limited areas to the entire city now. But once again, another really solid alternative to driving a car and for paying for a car. So lots of options there when it comes to transportation in Vancouver. Healthcare and insurance. In British Columbia, you probably already know that there's universal healthcare. You do pay for it. You pay for it through your taxes, of course, and there's no additional fees for for basic healthcare. So this is covered by the medical services plan. There's no extra bill. Basically, if I get in an accident or something happens to me, I can go to a doctor and I don't have to pay. I do have to pay for prescriptions, and I do have to pay for any dental bills to go see a dentist, and prescriptions. I don't have perfect vision, so I do need glasses. You probably see me wearing glasses. All of those things are things that are not covered by the medical services plan. And that's really important to know if you're moving here from somewhere else. That can be very unexpected expense. Now, extended benefits can be covered by your employer. And that's an important thing to understand when you move here. So they may be paying for extended benefits, which cover dental, which cover your prescriptions, and which cover also your eyeglass prescriptions. So it is possible that you get those through your employer. And that's an important thing to understand when you're negotiating a job and comparing one position to another. But be sure that you're budgeting for those expenses if you're moving here from somewhere else and aren't aware that those aren't included. I find in general, this is something that a lot of newcomers to British Columbia and Vancouver specifically really underestimate. Next, I want to talk about childcare and education. So let's start with the youngest children. If you're looking for daycares, school begins at the age of 5. That's when you enter kindergarten. And before that, it's our own personal responsibility. We can't send them to any kind of school. So most people are putting their kids into daycares. Those daycares usually begin around 18 months of age or 2 years. Somewhere around that period is where most daycares will start. And you're looking at paying anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month. These prices are the maximum amount that you're probably going to find. There are significantly less expensive daycares around. In fact, if you're lucky enough, there are now $10 a day daycares. These are daycares that are subsidized by the provincial government. And so they become very, very inexpensive places to send your children for care so that you can return to work. Some of these daycares will include food, not all of them will. Obviously, the more expensive ones, if you're pushing over $1,500 a month, you're more than likely getting food included. And of course, at the very bottom of the price range, most likely you're needing to provide the food yourself. Keep in mind, especially with these $10 a day daycares, because the spaces have opened up and because they've become so much more affordable, the competition for these spots is really, really fierce. And this is something I speak about quite a bit in many of my videos and podcasts. And most people are coming from places where they feel that this is an issue as well. But honestly, I don't think it's anywhere near as extreme a situation as it is here in Vancouver. There are very, very few daycare spots, and they're very heavily contested. In my own personal experience with each of my children, it has been an extreme struggle to find a spot. And honestly, it feels like winning the lottery when you actually find a spot. And people looking for daycare spots, to be honest, we don't really pick and choose the best daycares. We just pick the one that picks us. You don't have choice, really, is the point I'm trying to make here. That's how rare these spots are. So that's something to be aware of when you're moving here. Be sure that you're applying to as many daycares as you possibly can. And they're not always going to be super conveniently located. A lot of us will go well out of our way just because we got it accepted at a daycare spot so that our children can attend daycare so that we can return to being an adult and return to work. So keep all of that in mind when you're looking at daycare. Now, in terms of public education versus private school, obviously public schools here in Vancouver, well, not obviously, but you don't pay directly for them. You're paying for them through your taxes, and you don't have to pay anything out of pocket typically when you're sending your kids to public school here. The public school system is excellent, and I send my own kids to public school and I'm quite happy doing so. But some people want to send their kids to private school, and you're certainly welcome to do that. There's some excellent private schools throughout Metro Vancouver. They run anywhere from about $10,000 at the low end per year up to about $35,000, $40,000 for a local student. But if you're an international student, you could be paying up to $95,000 a year to go to a place like St. George's, where it would be for an international student that needs to be boarded. So in Vancouver, you could be paying $0 a year for your child's education, all the way up to a whopping $100,000. Obviously, there's a huge variation there for each their own, but you're going to be able to find the education you want and the quality you want at the price that you want to find. Now, in terms of post-secondary education, you're typically going to find the cost of that is varied. It runs around $6,000 annually up to about $10,000. We're talking just tuition here. But if you're a foreign student, well, the price can be considerably higher. You're looking somewhere in the range of $50,000 to $65,000 for international student tuition at places like UBC UBC or Simon Fraser. So be forewarned if you're thinking about coming here as a foreign student. It can be very, very pricey. And then there's all sorts of other family-oriented expenses you want to be thinking about that I think are a surprise to parents. New parents in particular, I can tell you I was shocked. In fact, this year my son just started playing hockey and it's $1,300 a year. And that's crazy. The expenses that you can really accumulate when you send your kids, I don't know, for tutoring or swimming lessons or soccer games or whatever it happens to be. So my son plays lacrosse and that's about $350 a year. We were sending our kids to gymnastics programs, which were, I think they were about $350 for a 6-week program. We pay about $100 a month for swimming lessons. That is for all four of our kids, which is a fantastic deal, I have to say. But of course, these things can really add up and you do want to shop around. You do want to be aware that these things exist. The other expense you want to keep in mind and the other tricky thing is dealing with after school care. School ends at 3 p.m. Some schools end a little bit earlier, in fact. And what do you do with the kids if you actually have to work until 5 p.m. and your child can't look after themselves? Maybe they're 8 years old or 10 years old. And so we're in that boat with two of our children who are in elementary school and we don't have older kids that can look after them. We don't have any friends or family that can look after them as well. Luckily, our school has an after-school program that costs about $300-$350 a month. Again, those expenses vary. Some people will pay a babysitter for that time. Sometimes people also hire just an older kid at the school to hang out with their kid for a couple hours until they get home for school. And that can be a solution as well. But as you can see, there's plenty of things to be thinking about when you have children and the kind of expenses that are involved when living in Vancouver. I want to talk about some hidden costs that you might not really be expecting. And one of them I wanted to talk about back when we were talking about transportation, and that's parking. And parking tickets, frankly, because I'm somebody who gets parking tickets, unfortunately. I drive around a lot. I move from one meter to another. I actually pay 99% of the time, but the number of times I get a ticket 5 minutes after my parking has expired is insane. And it's a real tax on my income, unfortunately. So you're going to see in Vancouver that free parking doesn't really exist. You have to pay for parking almost everywhere that you go, especially downtown, but also in the more densely populated areas that surround downtown and most of the commercial zones. So in downtown Vancouver, you could be paying anywhere from $2 an hour, which is darn cheap, right up to $12 an hour, which seems very, very hefty. Daily parking is going to run you around $25 at the low end, but could be considerably more. It might be $40, $50 as well. And if there is an event, they're going to ding you for those events. If you're going downtown for a hockey game or a soccer game or something like that, parking can be very expensive for those events. And then, of course, if you get dinged like I do for parking tickets, well, those can really add up very quickly as well. If you pay them in time, they're not that bad. They're about $70, but very quickly they ramp up if you don't pay them right on time. And of course, if you end up getting towed, those are all really expensive. In fact, they're enormous revenue streams for the city of Vancouver. In 2024, the city of Vancouver raked in $80 million from parking fees and parking fines. So a very considerable amount of money is brought in for the city of Vancouver. And that would explain why it's so darn expensive. And I feel partly responsible for that, given the fact that I pay so many parking fees and so many parking fines personally. On top of that, an unexpected expense that you may not really be thinking about is rain lifestyle tax. Yes, we do have rain here and you do want to be prepared for it. You're going to be happiest living in Vancouver if you're actually going out in the rain in the right kind of gear. It doesn't rain all year round. I've talked about that in other podcasts, but in the peak rain season, you definitely want to be prepared. After all, you don't want to just huddle inside and be afraid of getting wet, right? Vancouver is a great place to be active all year round, but in order to do that, you have to be physically prepared and wear the right stuff. And that means a really nice rain jacket. That means sometimes for some people, a good umbrella. Although I've argued in the past that real Vancouverites don't own umbrellas. I personally don't, but I see people with umbrellas and sometimes I think that's actually a pretty good idea. But then I just cover myself in my fancy Gore-Tex jacket hood and I'm perfectly fine and covered from the rain and I don't worry about it too much. But a good rain jacket can run you hundreds of dollars. Obviously, you can spend anywhere from, let's say, $200 at the low end to a couple $1,000s at the very high end, of course. Good rain boots or good waterproof shoes of some kind are really important. And if you're spending more time in the rain and you're doing a lot of walking or cycling, rain pants. Can't talk enough about the importance of rain pants. Something that you're probably not going to see in too many many other places, or at least not all that frequently, unless you're a real outdoors person. But in Vancouver, if you're on a scooter, if you're on a bike, if you're doing a lot of walking, then rain pants are also really, really important. And again, you can spend a couple hundred dollars on that. Another thing that you want to be thinking about when you live in Vancouver is your rainy day fund. Like, what are you going to do and get away from the city every once in a while? And I think everybody that lives in the Northern Hemisphere likes to get away in the winter. In BC in particular, people like to do little trips around. And so you're going to want to think about getting on BC ferries. You're going to want to think about extended trips with a car, whether it's your own car share with a friend or a car share like Evo. And of course, hotel or Airbnb expenses. And so thinking about going to places like Salt Spring or like Victoria or Whistler or to the Okanagan Valley, these are part of living in Vancouver and part of what makes living in Vancouver so spectacular. And ideally, you have a budget for doing those things. These days, those trips, even though you're not jumping on an airplane and even though you're not, there's no expensive exchange rate, they're becoming increasingly expensive. And it's really tough to do any of these weekend trips for less than, I'd say, you know, for a couple, probably a couple $1,000. You're paying $300-$400 a night for a hotel. You might be doing a couple activities. You're going out to a couple for a couple nice dinners. Very quickly, this all adds up into the couple $1,000 range. So be sure that you're budgeting for that to have the lifestyle that you want to have when you live here in Vancouver. So now I want to talk about taxes and government fees. What can you expect when you live in British Columbia? First of all, it's important to note that we do have sales tax. We have a combination of the provincial sales tax, which is 7%, and then we have the GST, which is 5%, and that goes to the federal government. So in combination, you're paying about 12% on most things that you're going to buy, most goods and services that you buy. There's some exceptions to the PST, so some basic groceries, kids' clothing, what else? I think books are excluded. There's a few exclusions, but on the whole, we're paying 12% sales tax on just about everything that you're going to be buying. So you want to get used to that. But then there's additional taxes you also want to be aware of. There's some sin taxes and luxury taxes. So on alcohol, rather than the 12%, you're actually paying 15% tax. So it's a 10% PST and 5% GST. On cigarettes, you're paying 32.5 cents on every single cigarette, as well as the 7% PST. And on hotels, this is one that really gets you. On hotels, you're paying 20% in Vancouver, and that's a really significant tax. Don't stay in too many hotels in Vancouver if you can get away with it. And a newer tax that you want to be aware of is for luxury cars. A brand new car, you're going to be paying 12% up to $125,000. You're going to be paying 15% from $125,000 to $150,000 of that car's worth. And then you're paying 20% over $150,000. So beware. If you're buying a Porsche or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, what have you, the tax on those cars in British Columbia is really hefty. New cars, under $55,000, you're paying 7%. There's a couple other steps between $55,000 and $57,000 that I'm not going to get into, steps from 8 to 9%. But from $57,000 to $125,000, you're paying 10%. From $125,000 to $150,000, you're paying 15%. And then again, over $150,000 value used car, you're paying, once again, that whopping 20% tax. Now, there's also taxes you want to be aware of when you're purchasing real estate. And if you've been listening to my podcasts, you've probably heard me talk about these, but there is the property transfer tax that everybody pays unless there is an exemption for first-time buyers that we're not going to get into in this podcast. But the tax is 1% on the first $200,000. It's 2% from $200,000 to $2 million. And then it's 3% from $2 million to $3 million. And it's 5% over $3 million. So once again, when you're buying that luxury property, that $10 million property, you're paying a really large amount. It's a one-time expense, but it goes directly to the provincial government. Be aware of that. If you are a foreign buyer buying real estate in Vancouver and you meet the exception of the foreign buyer ban, that means you're on a work visa, well, you still have to pay a foreign buyer tax. That tax is 20%. In addition to the property transfer tax, you're paying a 20% tax as a foreign buyer on the purchase of any property in Vancouver. So be aware of that as well. On the sales side, there's also a tax you want to be aware of. This only impacts you if you're trying to sell a property within the first year. This is called the flipping tax. You have to pay 20% of any profit that you make in that first year to the provincial government. There's a declining scale. By the end of 2 years, you're paying no tax. You're paying none of the profit to the provincial government. But just be aware, there is a tax if you try and sell a property and you're making money within that first year. All right, so now lifestyle and entertainment. This is, again, one of those really varied categories that really depends on what you're up to, what your hobbies are. There's some very, very expensive hobbies, of course. I don't think it differs too much from what you're going to find in other markets, but just so you understand what it might cost you. A typical gym membership, it could be as cheap as $20 a month, but a lot of them are venturing more in that direction of about $200, somewhere in that $150 to $200 range. And that's just for your typical nice gym. Could be a yoga studio, could be a cycling studio, could be a bar. To all those types of things run close to $200 a month these days. Ski passes. This is something that's interesting, and this is updated information. So Grouse Mountain, early bird, that's the best deal. You're going to find a ski pass is $399 for the season, for this upcoming season. A day pass can be anywhere from $90 to $110 a day, depending on, you know, if it's a weekend, if it's a special holiday or something, or it's midweek. Cyprus, the gold status season's pass is $899 for the 2026 season. It's $113 to $146 a day. And then if you're into skiing, of course, you've heard about Whistler, and that really is the local gold standard for skiing. The season's pass this year is $1,564. That is not so bad, especially when you compare it to the daily rate. And if you buy a day pass for Whistler in advance, not crazy in comparison to those local mountains, it's $195 a day, but it can be $295 a day if you don't buy in advance and you just show up at the gate on that particular day. It could be $300 for that single day. So very substantial expenses. Concert tickets, lots of great concerts in Vancouver, as you've heard me speak about before. It could be anywhere from somewhere around $20. You could be paying $100, $150, depending on who it is and what the venue is. My wife and I went to the P&E the other day, and we went to see Leon Bridges, and those tickets, I think we paid about $50 for those tickets. Not the most spectacular venue, but an amazing artist. We went to see the Rolling Stones a little while ago. I think those tickets were more like $300, but we've been to plenty of shows that are more in the $25 to $35, $40 range. Lots of great stuff that comes to Vancouver. You can, of course, spend crazy amounts of money and spend well over $1,000 if you buy some of these tickets to something that is really hotly contested and a real hot ticket, obviously. Then there's sporting events. So for the Vancouver Canucks, you're looking at a low of about $100 just to enter. And so for some of those premium games, you're paying up to $250 for the worst seats. And in those same games, you're paying up to $800 a ticket for the best seats. So the Canucks are one of the harder tickets to get, one of the more expensive tickets. The Vancouver Whitecaps tickets are as low as $30 for a game for the end zone and roughly about $70 for midfield. Those tickets, given that Thomas Muller has just arrived, are much harder to get. And honestly, the Whitecaps are super exciting right now, and I highly recommend going to check them out and watch them. The BC Lions football, you can get tickets as low as $20, and that is a bargain. That is something that a lot of families will attend, and especially a lot of families from the outlying areas. It's really hard to come into the city for a deal, and to be able to see a professional sport for just $20, that is a bargain for a lot of people that are, a lot of families are taking advantage of. But the one that I think is the best value, that would be the Vancouver Warriors. That's our professional lacrosse team that plays at Rogers Arena, and tickets are just $25 to get into a Warriors game. The quality of the sport, the quality of the entertainment is extremely high. I love lacrosse, and I think everybody should go to a game. So if you get a chance, be sure to check out a Warriors game. Those $25 are money well spent. You know, just how expensive Vancouver is really depends on who you are and how you spend money, what your budget is, and what stage of life you're in. So I think it's really helpful to try and highlight that. And that's what I'm trying to address here. It's giving you a couple different budgets. So if you're a student, if you live that kind of roommate lifestyle, you're sharing accommodation, you're really trying to budget and spend as little money as possible. In Vancouver, you're probably going to be able to get by on somewhere in the range of $2,000 to $2,500 a month. That's at the very, very low end for somebody that's single and just starting out. And then for the single professional life, so you're not married yet, you don't have kids, but you're living a lifestyle that's a little more excess. You're enjoying life. You have your own place. Maybe you've bought it. Maybe you're renting still, but it's a one bedroom all on your own. You're going out a little more often. You're meeting friends. You're doing activities. You're joining some clubs. You're doing stuff. You might go on a vacation once in a while. And in that kind of lifestyle, you're looking at about $4,000 a month, I'd say, in Vancouver. So quite possible for a single professional to live on roughly $4,000 a month. And then for a family of four, of course, there's a lot more expenses. You're going to be paying for more activities. You're paying for more food. Traveling around is more expensive. You might need a second vehicle. And for those those people, you're probably looking at around $7,500 a month. So a family can really expect to spend about $7,500 a month. I can tell you my own budget for a family of six is closer to $10,000 a month. And we're not living a super frugal lifestyle, but we're also not living a life of luxury. So I can give you that range of expectation depending on where you are. I hope that kind of gives you a better understanding. And this is also why, you know, you might run into people who talk about how crazy expensive Vancouver is, where other people are like, actually, it's totally fine. It really depends on what your expectations are and where you are in life. Right? So there you have it, my review of the cost of living in Vancouver in 2025. There's no doubt Vancouver can be an expensive place to live, but there is a lot of options to save money. And there's a lot of variation depending on your lifestyle. You can save money if you want to living in Vancouver. And that can start just with where you decide to live and the length of commute that you have and how you commute and where you shop and where you buy groceries and what kind of food you end up eating, how often you go out. All of those things are factors in how much it's going to cost for you to live here. But I hope at the end of the day, this podcast kind of puts that power in your own hand to figure out whether you can afford to live in Vancouver.
That's the point of this podcast. And ultimately, after listening to this podcast, if you still want to move to Vancouver and you are thinking of buying a home, of course, I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of people do exactly what you're trying to do. Move to Vancouver, find the right neighborhood, and then ultimately find the right home. And I can help you and your family as well. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup.
Be sure to reach out anytime. But of course, if you're not quite ready to do that, that's totally fine. I have you covered. I have almost 150 videos in my back catalog now, all about moving to and living in Vancouver. I'm putting out these videos, I'm churning these out every single week, trying to answer all of your questions about what it's like to live here and what it's like to move here. If there's any questions that are outstanding that I haven't covered, be sure to reach out and let me know what questions you need answered, and I'd be happy to address them, or try to at least. And who knows,
maybe there'll be a future video or a podcast addressed directly to you. I really do appreciate you listening to this podcast all the way to the end.
Thank you so much for sticking with me, and hopefully I'll see you next week.